We're going into our new series, Resilience. I'm looking forward to that. It's I really do believe that this is a series that God wants to speak into our church about perseverance and pushing through. And so I hope that God will speak to you over the next few weeks as we go through the series. I was in grade probably 3 or 4, and I had my moments where I was a little feisty. I'd get into some spats with people, and I'd shoot off my mouth when I probably shouldn't shoot off my mouth. And this one day after school, I don't know what took place, but there was this girl, and I started to mouth off to her, and she was in my class, and she started to mouth off to me, and so we kind of got into it. We're just back and forth, and she starts saying some things, and I start saying some things, and back and forth, back and forth. And the more lippy I got, I could see that she was steaming. And finally, she came up to me, and to my shock, she shoved me in the chest. Now, friends, if that was a guy, I know how I would respond in grade 3 or grade 4, whatever the grade was. But this was a girl, and I knew better. You don't hit girls. You don't physically respond to girls. And so she's like, "Do you want to fight?" Well, inside I want to, but I determined that I wasn't going to, and so I just kind of said a few more lippy words and started to walk away. And she came again. She pushed me again. And I mean, I was holding back everything I had, and just kept walking and said a few more words, and I could tell she wanted to fight, but I was the better man, and so I just walked past. I was the only man, actually. kept on walking and walked home, and immediately told my mom and to impress her about how I responded. It was like, "Mom, this girl after school, and you know, I don't know what provoked her, and you know, we started to talk, and all of a sudden she goes to push me, but Mom, I know that you don't hit girls," and so I just walked away, and she's, "Oh, I'm so proud of you, Jeff." Now, I got to tell you the truth today, okay, many, many years later. There was another reason why I didn't push back, and it wasn't because you don't hit girls. I was afraid I was going to lose. Now when you're a kid on the playground, there's one of three ways that you can lose a fight. The first way is that the referee declares that there's a winner. And you're on the playground, so there's no referee, so that wasn't going to happen. Number two, you lose a fight because the other person has killed you. All right, and I knew that wasn't going to happen. I mean, this girl was mean. I mean, she was probably a future UFA fighter. I mean, but she was mean, but she was not going to kill me. The only other way that you could lose, and the only way that was pertinent to my situation, was that there would come a point where she would give me so many poundings that I would have to surrender, that I would have to say, "Stop, stop, stop, you're beating me up, stop," and break into tears and tell this girl that I surrendered. I mean, friends, I know I'm not trying to be sexist, but back in the 1970s, that would have destroyed life. To surrender to a girl would have been absolutely the worst thing in the world. It would have haunted me forever. I would probably be working in some cubicle in some spot as a telemarketer, just afraid of people because it would have destroyed my life. So I had to walk away to save myself from embarrassment. Now listen, there's worse things to face than embarrassment when it comes to surrendering in a fight. In fact, the worst thing that you could face when it comes to surrendering in a fight is losing your faith. You see, Ephesians chapter 6 says that we're in a spiritual battle. We're not in a fight with some girl. We're in a fight with the enemy of this world. We're in a fight with the devil, the one who wants to destroy us. And if we surrender, it's more than about embarrassment. It actually shipwrecks our faith. And I want to tell you this morning that even though the enemy is going to try to fight you, he's going to try to push you, he's going to try to taunt you, he's going to try to get you engaged in battle, and he's going to try to get you to surrender, I want you to know this morning that God is calling you to respond back, not the way your mom taught you. He's not telling you to walk away. He's telling you to fight. He wants you to respond to the enemy by fighting, not by pulling away. In fact, he doesn't just want you to fight one fight. He wants you to keep fighting until you win. And this morning I want to look at a very simple passage in the Bible, and I want to talk to you about fighting until you win. So if we can look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says this: "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And if we can just go to this next slide, the part that I want to look at is so simple. On the very next slide, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. faith. Now, you, most of you were brought up that you don't fight, but I'm here today to tell you to fight. I'm here to tell you to fight the good fight of the faith. Timothy is getting instructions from Paul. And Paul has been laying out some things to Timothy about the things that he's going to face, and he's laying out the problems that are happening in the church. And in this first letter to Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, hey, I want you to fight the good fight. I want you to fight the good fight. I want you to fight till you win. And then as you go into the second letter to Timothy, in chapter 4, Paul says, hey, Timothy, I want you to know not only have I called you to fight the good fight, but I want you to know that I've already done it. I've been fighting this fight every day. I've been giving it everything I have. And I have fought the fight and I've won. Timothy, I'm a model of what I want you to become. I don't want you just to fight. I want you to fight till you win. And friends, what Paul is trying to speak into Timothy is this sense of resilience. That no matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what comes our way, that we just keep fighting. And we don't just fight, but we fight until we win. And so this morning I want to talk to you from this passage about fighting until we win. The first thing we see in this passage is the charge. The simple word fight, the very first word that we see in the passage, fight. It means to contend, to fervently struggle, to engage in warfare. This is not something just passive. Hey, Timothy, there's gonna be a battle around you. Just walk through life and just be very passive. Peace, man. Peace. Just going through life, going to be Canadian, just nice to everybody. Oh, golly gee, we're in the middle of a fight. He doesn't say that. He doesn't want him to be passive. He wants him to fight. He wants him to engage in warfare. And he says to Timothy, just prior to this verse, he says, hey, there's going to be things that are happening in the faith in your church. There are going to be things that are happening in the faith with Christians around you. He says some of the people are going to be deceived. They're going to be deceived by false teachings. They're going to be sitting back passively, just kind of enjoying Christianity, trying to get everything. The enemy's going to start to hit with the left and hit with the right with deception. Then the enemy's going to come along and he's going to hit with some false teachings. And then he's going to hit with some ideas of greed. And then pride's going to come in. And they're going to be sitting there and they're going to be thinking everything's fine. But in their passive state, the enemy's going to be trying to take them out. And you're going to face this. You're going to look at Christians who are caught by false teachings. Christians who are caught by greed, individuals who are caught by pride, individuals who are deceived, who are hit by the enemy, and they're going to be sitting back passively, and you're going to watch them get taken out of the fight. And Paul says, listen, I don't want you to sit back passively. I want you to engage in the fight. I want you to engage in this fight. Now, I want you to imagine something for a second. Let's suppose that there was a war to take place tomorrow. I mean, it's not like that's an unrealistic possibility. I mean, the things that are happening around this world, who knows what will happen. But let's suppose that there's a war that's taken place, and you have been sent to somewhere in southern Asia, and you're in the army, and you've been placed in this dugout, and you've been given a gun. And so now you're in the dugout with all these soldiers, and all of a sudden there's an explosion, and you just stand there with your gun. And then there's some shooting at you, and you bullets are flying over your head, and you're ducking. And then tanks are moving closer and closer. Can you imagine walking around the foxhole with your gun saying, hey, man, it's getting bad. Oh, the enemy's getting closer. Oh, yeah. I mean, did you feel the bullets? Man, it took out Jim. It took out Johnny over there. Man, the explosions are loud. It's getting worse and worse. It's so bad. I feel like the enemy is getting closer. It feels like he's constantly gaining ground, constantly winning. We should just talk about this. We should maybe just sit and study the enemy. Maybe we could just pray together. What do you think we should do? There's a soldier standing in a foxhole with a gun. The enemy's shooting bullets. The enemy's throwing grenades. The enemy's shooting through with a cannon from a tank. He's advancing. And the soldier's in the foxhole sitting there passively talking with other soldiers. And what's going to happen is the commander's going to come along and say, hey, soldier, would you be quiet and just start to fight? Just start to fight. When the enemy's attacking you, you do not sit back. You start to attack the enemy. And friends, I want to tell you this, that there is an enemy who wants to destroy you We're going to talk about that in a few moments. He's going to shoot at you. He's going to attack you. He's going to hit you left, right, and center. And you can sit back and you can grieve and you can complain and you can try to figure it out. And you can talk to other people and you can even pray about it. But there comes a point when you need to hear the charge that comes from the Spirit of God who says, it's time to fight. It's time to fight for your faith. It's time to fight against the enemy. So how do you fight? You don't do it with a gun. We all know that. But I believe that there's some biblical principles on how to fight. The first is I think that we need to declare his word. I think when the enemy starts to attack us, we start to attack him with the word of God. You see, the enemy comes after Jesus, and he's in the wilderness, and the enemy is trying to get him to toss himself off of a cliff. He's trying to get him to bow down to him. He's trying to get him to turn rocks into bread. The enemy keeps attacking him. He keeps trying to take him out, trying to win this battle with Jesus. And every single time the enemy attacks, you know what Jesus does? He responds by declaring the word of God. And I want to tell you, when the enemy is coming after you, when you're feeling his bullets, when you're feeling his left and his right, you need to stand up and say, enemy, let me tell you about what the word of God says. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We need to start to declare things. When the enemy says, this is impossible, no, all things are possible with my God. We need to start declaring the truth of Scripture. I talked about the battle a year ago, but some of us, we get to this place where we just keep getting hit, and we forget that we need to stand up to the big bully and tell him what the Word of God says. We fight against the enemy by declaring his Word. We fight against the enemy by advancing his cause. I love this. Jesus shows up in an area, there's this demon-possessed individual. I mean, nobody has any ability to deal with this demon-possessed individual. Everybody's perplexed as to what to do. But Jesus wants to advance his Father's mission. He wants people to be set free. He's not going to just sit back and just be perceptive about the enemy's attack on this individual. No, he's advancing the cause. He's advancing his Father's will. And as he walks towards the individual, all of a sudden the enemies, because it's these demons call themselves legion, they start freaking out. Hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with us? You're Jesus of Nazareth. What are you going to do with us? Please don't send us into a dry place. Please send us into the herd of pigs. And Jesus casts these demons into the pigs, and this man is set free. You see, the enemy always is defeated when we advance the cause of the Father. Every time we move forward, the enemy gets defeated. Friends, listen to me. The devil loves it when a church just has good church services. The devil loves that. He doesn't care that we sing. He doesn't care that we love each other. He doesn't care that we smile in this place. If we can do that but never advance the cause of the Father, then he wins. But when we start to advance the cause, when we start to tell our neighbors about Christ, when we start to pray for people who are sick and believe that they will be healed, when we start to stand up for truth, when we start to demonstrate the kingdom values, when we start to walk in the places like Jesus walked and we see the power of God coming out of us, truth coming out of us, the enemy starts to get upset. What are you going to do with us? Because he knows that as we advance the cause of Jesus, he loses ground. You see, we need to declare his word. We need to advance his cause. And thirdly, friends, we need to praise his name. I love that story, and I've shared it before here. Paul and Silas are in jail. I mean, they seem defeated. The enemy's happy. He's taken out the two great evangelists of the New Testament church. And they're sitting in the very back of the jail. And I can just imagine that the enemy is just kind of walking the jail cell. No one can see him, but I can just imagine the devil's gone after Jesus' best asset. There's Paul sitting in the darkness, in the depths of the prison. And I can just imagine the enemy walking around going, hey, isn't it awesome that you're here? Isn't it awesome that you're defeated? You're in the back of the prison. You can't tell people about Jesus. Your plans are thwarted. You are ineffective for Jesus. You should be so discouraged. You're gonna face the death penalty. And I can just hear the enemy with a slimy voice just telling Paul and Silas how bad it is. But Paul and Silas are not people who are going to just give up. They're going to fight the fight. Hey, Silas, you want to sing? Yeah, that sounds good, Paul. What do you want to sing? Oh, I don't know. Let's just sing something from Psalms. And the Bible tells us that they begin to sing, and the devils must be so angry. Because here in the midst of what should be the defeat moment, these two men in the back of a prison cell, they begin to worship God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I declare that He is the King. Hallelujah. His mercy endures forever. And they begin to lift up their voices and they begin to worship. And all of a sudden there's this earthquake and the prison doors open up. And the doors are open, and the prison guard is about to kill himself. And Paul says, hey, don't worry, we're still here. And he's able to share Jesus Christ with the people in that prison because they praise. Listen to this. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So when the enemy throws you into a jail, when the enemy starts hitting you with the left, when the enemy starts hitting you with the right, you want to know how you fight back? You begin to declare the praises of God. You begin to worship. You begin to invite him to inhabit your praises. Because when the universe, the God of this universe steps into the room, the enemy has to leave. You see, friends, we attack the enemy by our worship. Why do you think he attacks worship time so much? Because he knows that if we truly worship, that the Lord will inhabit the praises of his people, and then the enemy will leave. And so when you find yourself in a place where the enemy's hitting you left, right, and center, you declare the word, you advance his cause, and you praise his name. And you watch and see what the enemy does. That's the charge. The second thing we find in this passage is not just the charge, but we see the catalyst. Paul says, fight. And then he tells Timothy what he's to fight. He says, fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. How in the world can a fight be good? I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, when there was a playground fight, everybody was so excited. Two people would say, hey, we're going to fight. We're going to fight after school. We're going to meet in the playground. And everybody's like talking about it all day long. And they would wait after school, and they'd gather around and form the UFA ring. And we'd stand there, and these two individuals would fight till there was a winner. And then at the end, if it lasted for more than a few seconds and they both engaged, we'd say, oh, that was a good fight. Is that what Timothy's talking about? No, he's not talking about whether or not there was some good blows. This word good means beautiful, attractive, noble, that which inspires. You see, the fight that we're in is a noble fight, friends. This isn't just any fight. This isn't just an argument with your spouse or your kids. This isn't an argument with somebody at work. This is a noble fight that should inspire you to the fight. It's something so noble that it should inspire you to the fight. Look at this passage in Timothy. Next slide. Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Paul says, look, if I fight this fight, it's such a noble fight that there's actually a crown that is being set up for me. It's such an important fight. It's such a worthy fight. It's so noble to the Father that if I win this fight, he's preparing a crown for me. Paul's saying to Timothy, there's a fight that's worth fighting for. When Ainsley and I first got married, we had a couple minor horizontal passion conversations. You might call them fights. I don't know. I know most of you got married, and everything was just like Hollywood says. You just looked at each other, and they just never made you angry. And you looked each other in the eyes, and your heart would beat. And you just, husbands gave your wives roses every day. Women just loving on their husband, greeting them at the door. All that, that's you. But our first year of marriage, Ainsley was working nights, and I was finishing my Bible college education. And we were both incredibly tired. And this one day, we got into a little bit of a discussion. I have no idea what started it, but most likely I said something. And then Ainsley responded back to me. And then I pushed it a little bit further. And then she responded back to me. And I pushed it a little bit further. And she responded back to me. And we started to get more passionate in our communication. And then we started to elevate our voices. and we start to fight. We start to yell at each other. And I have this problem sometimes with fighting. I'm trying to work on it, but sometimes I will dismiss something that bothers me for a few days, but I will store them in the back of my head until the fight. I don't know if anybody else does this. But here I was, and we were at this moment, and it felt like she was winning, and so it was now time to open up the vault. And just start, yeah, you remember when you did this? Hey, you remember this? Hey, this? And then she said something, and then I said something back, and just, and then, I mean, I don't know how long, it lasted for an hour or two, but I mean, it was emotional. It spent all our energy. We went at it. And she went to one part of our apartment, I went to another part, and we were furious with each other. Tears, slammed doors, anger, no godliness. It was just awful. And I gotta tell you something. After all that time of fighting, knowing that we need to resolve it, I couldn't remember what we were fighting about. I mean, here I knew that I was angry with her, and she had so upset me, and I had to be right because I'm always right. And as I was trying to figure out how we're gonna work this through, I couldn't figure out how the thing began. Because we had started here, and then we rabbit trailed over here, and then I said, well, what about this? And then we went over here, and then we were way down the road, and I couldn't even find home anymore. We spent probably a couple hours. And we resolved it, obviously, because we're still married. But we had spent hours of pouring out our energy on something that wasn't worth it. And the question I have for you today is, how much time are you spending fighting over things that aren't worth it? How much energy and passion are you fighting about things that are ignoble? Things that just don't matter. I see it in the church all the time. People fight about things that just don't matter in the light of eternity. We get so upset about all kinds of things that just don't matter. And this person said this, and oh, I'm not talking to that person. This happened in church. Oh, I'm not talking to that person. This person did this in our family. Oh, I'm not talking. And we fight over things that just aren't worth it. But Paul says to Timothy, I want you to fight for the noble cause. It's the catalyst. It's the thing when you think about why I should fight this, because you know that this is a noble cause. You know this is a worthwhile cause. Fighting for the good faith, fighting the good fight of the faith. This is a worthwhile cause. This is so worth it because it matters to the Father. Friends, if you're going to get into a fight with somebody, get in a fight with the enemy about the things that matter to God. Put your passions and your energies not in fighting with one another, but let's fight the good fight. Let's fight for noble causes. I'll never forget when I was pastoring in Pembroke, we were going after revival. We were praying for a revival, that God would do some great things. And our staff just kept preaching it. We kept praying for it. We were hungry to see God move. And the more we pushed, the more we felt resistance. And I remember we would pray and we'd preach and we'd have these strong services and the Holy Spirit would fill our services. And there was this one period where 6 weeks in a row, people were just broken in church. I mean, before we ever got to the message, because the presence of God was so incredible. And we saw people get saved and we saw people get healed and we were just we kept on pushing for it. But there were some people who just didn't want that type of preaching. And I'll never forget, there was this one Sunday where this gentleman from our church, he had put together a newspaper. He was pretty handy on the computer. And he brought it into the foyer, and the newspaper said this on the front: browbeating continues at PPT till revival comes. And he went around and he started to hand that out to people and show people the headline. It was an attack on our pastoral staff because he was so tired of hearing these messages about revival and repentance. I mean, people are getting saved. People are being broken because of sin. I mean, true move of the Spirit of God, and he is doing this. And I got to tell you, at first I was angry. I mean, I wanted to do some browbeating. I wanted to do some other kind of beating. But in those moments, and there were many moments where you just felt like maybe we should just pull back. Maybe we should just quit. Maybe we should just throw in the towel. Maybe we should just stop fighting. Maybe we should just give up. But the Spirit of God would speak to me in those moments and would say, Jeff, this is a noble cause. People's lives are at stake. People who are bound by sin, their lives are at stake. Their relationship with me is at stake. If you give up, you're going to prevent them from hearing the words that I have for them. If you give up, you're going to give up something that's worthwhile. So keep fighting, Jeff. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. And there are moments the enemy is going to come after you when you're fighting the good fight, when you are doing the things that are so honorable and so noble, the things that get some resistance from people who might think you're a little bit radical, that might think you're a little bit crazy, that would tell you to calm down, maybe some internal pressure from the enemy who would speak to you and say, you're just off your rocker. Just slow down. Just slow down. But friends, when that happens, you need to be catalyzed by the fact that this isn't just any fight. This isn't just about my preference. This isn't just about my likes. This is the good fight. This is the noble fight. This is the fight that's supposed to inspire me. This is the fight that Paul fought right to the bitter end. This is the fight that Jesus Christ laid his life down for. This is a fight that matters. And when you get up every day and the enemy's trying to tell you to stop fighting, you need to be catalyzed by saying, no, this is a fight that's so worth it. So worth it. The catalyst is the good fight. It's worthwhile. You see, the enemy will get you fighting over ignoble things so that you won't fight for what matters. Friends, it's true. There are times I gotta confess. You know I'm just an honest pastor. There's times I just get perplexed at people who get so passionate about so many things that just don't matter in light of eternity. They're their preferences. They're their likes. But please come to me with tears in your eyes and say, what are we going to do about reaching lost people? Come to me with tears in your eyes and say, Pastor, what are we going to do about the apathy in some people's lives? Please come to me with tears in your eyes and say, Pastor, what about holiness? We need this in our congregation. Come to me with tears in your eyes and say, Pastor, what are we going to do to take a stand in this country so that righteousness would prevail? If you want to get passionate, you want to fight, do it about something that's worthwhile. Let that be inside of us. If you're going to be provoked inside, be provoked towards something that matters. The good fight. It's quiet in here lately. The charge, the catalyst. And lastly, let me talk to you about the challenger. Paul says, fight the good fight. Fight. First fight is a verb. Second fight is a noun. This word is very interesting because when it was first used in ancient times, the word was tied to an athletic event. But over time, it started to evolve into any activity where an individual was coming up against an adversity. Some challenger. And anytime an individual, it wasn't just an athletic event. It wasn't just like, you know, let's just see how far you can run. No, this was whenever you came up against a challenger, somebody who would try to oppose you, somebody who wanted to win just as much as you do. You see, this fight that we're in is not just a personal perseverance. I need you to understand, when I'm talking today about fighting the good fight, I'm not just talking about, hey, just make sure your emotions are intact. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. This is not just about a personal thing. There is an enemy who is trying to take you out. Church, I want you to understand this. There is an enemy that wants to take you out. The Bible tells us that. You see, we have a challenger. It's the devil. He wants to win. Winning is this, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. The enemy will only win if he can steal everything from you. If he can steal your family, if he can steal your hope, if he can steal your joy, if he can steal your motivation, if he can kill you, and if he can destroy your soul in hell. He's playing for keeps. You got to understand this. Christianity isn't just about doing the good things. It's not just about coming to church. There's an enemy who's trying to destroy you, who's trying to take you out. And he wants to win. And here's the deal. He doesn't just try once. He just keeps trying. He keeps trying. The devil's going to be on your backside till the day you die. I just want you to understand that. He's going to be after you day you die because he's out to win. I'll never forget my buddy Dave. He was my assistant soccer coach. I was just early here into community, and he called me up this one day. And he says, Jeff, I'm coaching soccer. I say, oh, Dave, that's so great. He says, well, it's not as great as you think. He said, there's a new set of rules that are in the league. This new set of rules says that there are no winners in the game. So I said, what are you talking about? He said, our boys get onto the field, play with their whole heart, and they don't keep score. Someone scores a goal, they go back to the half, but no one keeps score. In fact, it's so bad that if one of the teams is losing, we'll try to adjust the formation of the team so the other team doesn't feel demolished. They just want the team to have fun. They just want the team to build skills. We just go out there, and if the other team's losing, maybe the other team will lend us a player just so that everybody's happy. And at the end of the day, there's no winners, there's no losers. Everybody just walks off the field happy. It's like, that's a stupid idea. You don't play sports to have fun. You play to win. Some of us think that this is what the enemy does. Oh, Jeff's had it rough lately. You know, he's had some stress. He's had some moments. You know, I've kicked him a few times, and he's a little less for energy. You know, he's down. He's bleeding at the mouth, and he's pretty discouraged right now. So you know what? I just get to ease off. Just gonna back up. I don't want him to leave the field defeated. I want him to leave the field going, oh, this was fun. Oh, it's fun. That's not what the devil's doing. He's not easing up when you're down. He's increasing the intensity. You see, this is the enemy that we're fighting, friends. This real spiritual battle. The enemy is going to keep coming at us, keep coming at us. He's not going to back off. And you think, man, I'm so tired, I just need him to leave me alone. And he's going to go, oh, that's good. Now that I know you're that tired, I'm going to be pushing a little bit harder, a little bit harder. You see, he won't quit, friends. He won't quit. He's going to keep coming. He's a challenger. He's out to win. He knows that between you and him, there's got to be one winner. And he's going to do everything in his ability to make sure that you're the loser and he's the winner. That's the challenge. The good fight. Fight the good fight. Go against your adversity. Go against your challenger. Go against the one who's trying to win. Paul says, go against the one who's your opponent, who's trying to take you out. Fight with everything you have because he wants to win. You see, the enemy comes after Jesus. We know about the wilderness temptations. The enemy comes after him, three temptations. And finally, Jesus says the final scripture and the enemy leaves for a season. And there's a moment where Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and the people in the synagogue, the religious leaders, they don't like what they're hearing. The Bible says that they walk Jesus out of the synagogue to the edge of the city where there's a cliff. Their intention is to kill him. They are incited by the devil who is trying to destroy Jesus, who is trying to wreck his mission. He's there, but something supernatural happens, and Jesus is able to walk away from the cliff. But he's trying. Then he's telling his disciples about the cross. This is my mission. This is why I'm here. I'm here to advance the kingdom. And Peter says, no, no, Jesus. No, you can't. Don't say that. We're going to do a big campaign. We've got a plan. It involves Russia, but we've got a plan. We've got a plan. We want to put you on top. And Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. Because Satan's there again trying to take Jesus out. Trying to tempt him. Then we see that Judas, when he goes to betray him, he's not just doing his own strength. The Bible says he is filled with Satan. And this man who's filled with Satan shows up at the garden where Jesus has been praying to make sure that Jesus gets arrested. Maybe this will be the moment where Jesus will be defeated. He's after him. Then he's on a cross. And I can just imagine that the enemy is rejoicing because he thinks that after all these things that he's been going after Jesus with, all these temptations, all these moments where he's trying to detract him from his course, that this is it. And in that moment where the Bible says Jesus breathed his last breath, I think that day that the devil did a little dance around the cross and he thought, finally I've won. I've come to steal, to kill, to destroy. And Jesus goes into the grave and into that tomb, and the enemy probably danced around that tomb day one, danced around the tomb day two, but day three that tomb opened up and Jesus stepped out and said, oh enemy, you thought you had me down, but I fight the good fight and I win against my challenger. I win. You see, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 said that the serpent would bruise the heel of the child, of the seed. He would wound Jesus. But then it says that Jesus would take his foot and crush the enemy's head. Because there's only one victor, friends. The enemy keeps coming after Jesus, but Jesus fights right till the end and he wins. And I want to tell you this, that there is an enemy who is trying to take you out and he won't stop. Now let me be a little pastoral just for a moment. I have enough interaction with this congregation on a week-to-week basis that I am aware that the last 2 months, I don't know the exact date, but I have seen unbelievable attacks in this congregation. I've felt it myself. I've watched people fight with each other. I've seen people get upset about the smallest things, get distracted from mission, get focused on all kinds of things. I've heard people who are sitting back and they just feel passive. They just don't know how to engage. They don't know what's going on. They're trying to find a reason for the blah that they're feeling. And I'm here today, church, to tell you that this is not a strange thing. This is the enemy who is trying to defeat you, trying to get you seated where you are, trying to discourage you, trying to take the life from you, trying to get you immobilized so that he can win. And I'm here today to tell you that if you sit there and just try to figure it all out, if you sit there and just try to wallow in discouragement, if you just sit there and allow him to convince you it's everybody else, then he wins. But the Spirit spoke through Paul and he said these words, fight, fight, fight the good fight, fight the good fight. Don't be passive. Don't be arguing with other people. Don't get discouraged. Don't get defeated, but stand up and fight because this is a good fight and you are not to surrender. You are to keep going. You are to have resilience in your heart. The Spirit of the living God lives within inside of you, and when you feel like you're not going anywhere, stand up and fight. Stand up and fight. You see, some of us are sitting there in the corner of the ring, and we feel like our mouth is bleeding, our nose has been punched too many times, we can barely see out of our eyes. And there's this voice taunting us in the back, take the towel and throw it in. Take the towel, throw it in. Surrender today. Surrender, quit. Just tell the enemy, just tell your challenger that you quit. And you're sitting there in the pew and you're thinking, man, I don't have anything in me. I don't think I can do another round. But it's not by your strength, but it's by the strength of the Spirit who lives inside of you. You simply need to rise up and say, I refuse to throw the towel in. Okay, enemy, let's go another round. I will fight the good fight of faith. I will not give up because there's only going to be one winner in this fight. It's either going to be you, enemy, or it's going to be me. And I choose for it to be me because I represent the Spirit of the living God. You see, friends, we're called to fight the good fight. Don't give up. Don't be backed into a corner. Don't feel defeated, but call on God and fight this good fight. Resilience in your spirit. The enemy cheering you on to quit, but the Holy Spirit cheering you on to stand and fight, to keep going, to keep going. There are some people in this place, and there was that once a fight in your heart, but something has crept in, and you feel like you just feel blah, blah. And you're trying to figure it out. I'm telling you that the enemy is trying to sideline you. I'm telling you that. He is trying to get you immobilized. He is trying to get you seated. He is trying to put you in a place where you've got every reason why you shouldn't advance the cause of God. And the enemy is trying to win over your life. It's time to resist the enemy and stand up and says, I choose to fight. Some of you are so discouraged. You say, I don't have the energy. I know you don't. God's never asking you to do it in your own strength. You need to grab hold of his hand and say, God, I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to rob you of praise. Some of you keep hearing his words in your ears. These lies that are so inconsistent with Scripture. It's time that you grab hold of the Word and you declare it over your life. Your God is much greater. Your God is much kinder. Your God is so able. You need to declare those words over your life and stop letting the enemy rob you. How many of you have been at that place where you say, the enemy has been winning in my life and I want it to stop today? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand in this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All across this place, thank you, thank you. And if you were one of those people who put up your hand and you feel like you've been backed into a corner, you've been beaten up, and the enemy's trying to tell you to throw it in, I want you to lift up your voice and sing this song, because it talks about God's angel army standing beside you. You are a victor. You are a conqueror. No matter what you feel like, no matter what you think, let the words of this song ring true in your heart. Pastor Steve, lead us in it right now.
Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Nothing forms, nothing formed against me shall stand. Hold the whole world, you hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful. Nothing formed against me shall. Stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
I want to just point this one thing out. John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it really talks all about what I've just shared. We have an enemy. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, to destroy. And then Jesus says, but I've come to give life, and life more abundantly. And some of you have been living in this realm where you've been doing your own thing, disconnected from Jesus. And you feel the stealing, you feel the killing, you feel the destruction of things around you. And you're so empty. And yet something happened when you came into this place. You felt some life that you haven't felt in a long time. It's the life that comes from Jesus. And this life is so incredible. It's a life that only happens when we get connected to the Father, to God. And Jesus made it possible. None of us could ever get that connected, because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But Jesus made it possible when he came to the cross and died in our place for our sins, and then rose again 3 days later. And if you're in this place and you don't know the life, I want to tell you that Jesus made it possible for you to experience the abundant life because of the cross. And all you need to do is say, Jesus, I accept that you're the only way to the Father. You died for my sins, and I want you to be in my life, to be in complete control, because only you give life. And church, as we leave this place in just a moment, as I conclude in prayer, I want to remind you of something so simple. I know the passage, I know the sermon is so simple. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, fight the charge, fight. Nothing passive, aggressive, fight. Declare his word, advance his cause, praise his name, the charge. The catalyst is the nobility of this fight. And would you be reminded all week that there's a challenger who's trying to win? And when you feel defeated and you feel like backing down, would you stand up and go, I'm not letting him win? Would you have the power that comes from the Spirit of God? Call upon him and fight the good fight. So Jesus, this morning as we conclude this service, I pray that your hand will be upon every person in this congregation. I ask God that they will fight the good fight. I pray that they will finish the race. I pray there would be a resilience within their life, no matter what comes their way, no matter what curveballs are thrown at them, that God, they would fight. They would stand up under your power, in your strength, and they would resist the enemy so that he would flee. Help us to advance your cause this week. God, I pray that your hand would be on this congregation. Wherever we go, let us bring the abundant life that we've talked about. Now bless this congregation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, everyone.